Hello, my friend. Jeff C. here with a great new resource that I put together just for you. It's a complete database of all the tools that I use to create content and run my business. I've got apps, software, hardware, and even my favorite AI tools. It's easy to find what you need and tells you exactly how I'm using them in my business. To get access to my toolbox, just go to jeffc.com/toolbox. That's J-E-F-F. S is in Sam, I-E-H. That's I before E, especially in C. That's how my mama had me learn it. So go check it out. And if you haven't heard me say it in a while, I appreciate you listening, my friend. And now, on with the episode.
So there's two places you can go to look for keywords that you want to use. One is the trends tool that Pinterest has. That's trends.pinterest.com. And you can look at keywords that are ranking for your country. There's like 15 listed or something like that. The other place is the Pinterest search bar, right? So putting in your keywords that you want to use. The important thing is that you want to turn that board into like a specific silo, if you will.
Keeping you up to date on the world of social media. Industry experts, innovators, creators, storytellers, and the latest social media tools, tips, and tactics. This is Social Media News Live.
Hello, folks. Welcome to Social Media News Live. I'm Jeff C. And you're not.
And I'm Connor Brown. And this is the show that keeps you up to date on what's happening in the world of social media and more.
Have you ever found yourself questioning how to leverage Pinterest to boost your business? Maybe you tried Pinterest only to quit because it wasn't giving you the results you were looking for. Or maybe you're thinking, it's just not a fit for my brand or services. If you thought those questions before, then today's show is going to be perfect for you. Today, we are delighted to welcome a guest whose whole business revolves around Pinterest. She's an expert in Pinterest marketing who turned her passion for helping businesses into the business and podcast that is Simple Pin Media. Kate Aul is going to be sharing her top strategies for mastering Pinterest marketing. So sit back, clear your schedule, clear your mind, and get ready for this week's episode of Social Media News Live. Kate, how are you doing today?
I am great. And I'm just so impressed by how you repurpose everything in such like an efficient way. It is incredible. Like I'm thinking like podcasts, all these other lives. So I'm here for it. I think
good.
It's amazing.
Yeah. I will repurpose your content. I know so much. Connor knows that I do that. I've got my daughter Abby now helping me do all this stuff. So it's so nice to have her on board with us. So yeah, let's just dive in. Let's just get started. We've got some, like I mentioned in the opener, Kate is the owner and CEO of Simple Pin Media, which is a, if you have any questions about Pinterest, she's got a podcast. She has got a blog. I mean, there's so much great stuff. If you're like, this thing changed since the last time I was on it. Kate has probably covered it in her podcast or on her show. So make sure to check that out. But we're going to dive right into this right away. And so Gary even has a question that I'm just going to pull up and we're going to rock with this one. Should we still categorize posts to different boards? Ooh. Are boards still a thing on Pinterest?
Boards are definitely a thing. Yeah, because that's how the algorithm works. So when you take the board name, the board description, and the pins that are in the board, the algorithm looks and goes, oh, this is about this particular category. So that's why boards are still really, really relevant on Pinterest.
Awesome. Okay, so that's great. Keep the questions coming because I told Connor at the beginning because he has a bunch of questions. And I was like, that's great because I have been on it for so long. I take things for granted. But Kate, I wanted to ask this first question. What has changed the most on the Pinterest platform in the last year?
Well, I guess I would say the biggest change has been they've moved away from idea pins. It's been a little bit longer, like 18 months. They've completely mm-hmm. moved that away and they've gone to that simplified pin format. So whenever you upload a pin to Pinterest, whether it's a video or whether it's a standard pin, it's just a pin now. So that's been something that Pinterest has tried to categorize pins in a different way, like video, idea, standard, and now they're just merging it all into one. But I would say, unlike the other platforms, there's a lot of things that have stayed the same, like keywords are the same and the size of images are still the same. So I would say that's probably the format is probably the biggest change that I see.
I'm going to dive on that. But first, I was so excited that Kate was here. I forgot to talk about our sponsors of the show, which is Ecamm. You can find out more about them by going to ecamm.com/Jeff. Save 15% on your first purchase by using the code Jeff15. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that later, but some of the cool stuff they've got going on. But once again, Pinterest, I'm all in and I'm excited. So you talk a lot on like a recent blog post, you talk about the Pinterest funnel. So can you talk about what you mean by the Pinterest funnel and how it kind of uses both organic and paid? Because that can be a little bit confusing.
Yeah. So the Pinterest funnel is essentially like at the top, it's just awareness, but people becoming aware of who you are, because Pinterest users, they're cold to you. They don't really care about you. They're not really interested in your brand like they are on Instagram. Like I joke that Instagram is a bar, Pinterest is a library. Like people walk in, they're really eager to like find whatever they're looking for. They don't want people to talk to them, but they are curious. So that top of funnel is kind of like their curiosity. The middle part is, okay, I'm kind of ready to learn more. Like maybe if I've seen your pin and I know your brand, I'm going to engage with you a little bit more. I'm going to learn more. And then there's that conversion piece at the bottom where people actually, maybe they pin something like 3 months before, they go back to their board and they're like, okay, now I'm going to purchase. But that purchase arc is a really long time. Like it takes people in Pinterest, like they're going to pin 20 different pillows before they actually choose to buy a pillow. So we want to be aware of like all three stages and how people interact with your pin. You can't just assume, oh, I'm going to put up a checkout link or like a link to, I want you to buy something. People are like, oh, that's so intrusive. Like I'm not ready. So that's how we want to be aware of kind of hitting all three parts of the funnel.
So my Pinterest journey, you know, I did it for a while. I stopped. It was just a lot. Other things coming, but I do want to get back into it just because not only has there been a lot of talk, I do think that for what I'm doing, it's a very, very appealing place to create content and post content. But right now, if I was to get back in, or if marketers are already on Pinterest and looking to double down, Kate, what are some current trends you're seeing in Pinterest marketing that the marketers should be aware of? I know video pins have been a thing for a while, but we're such a huge emphasis on short form content across the interweb. So Pinterest is, of course, diving into that as well. But also SEO, you know, we think of it a lot from a Google perspective, but Pinterest is right there too. So what are some current trends on Pinterest that we really need to be aware of?
Well, I would say SEO is probably number one. Like a lot of people, I would say in their whole marketing, if they're creating content, whether it's like short form video, they first think of Instagram or they think of TikTok, and Pinterest is kind of this afterthought. And so what I see people doing is I see them just kind of like, oh, I'll throw it a bone, right? And then they don't really think about their descriptions. They don't think about where they're putting their pin. You know, we talked about boards a minute ago. And that first pin that goes onto the platform, the board that it goes onto, that holds the most weight. And I find that people just don't really think about that. So staying with that trend of keywords. And I would say video is really weird right now. So on some accounts that we have, it's going great. But on the majority of accounts, it's not going that well. It's had a really big shift. So I would say when you see that happening, if you feel like video was this trend for a while and now it's kind of pulling back, go back to the standard pin and really get good at that pin. That's another place where I think people just kind of afterthought their Pinterest marketing. When you really get into using that image as your awareness builder, as your kind of middle of the funnel, like this, hey, get people curious about your product. That's what I would say works really, really well. And that's what I'm seeing is get really good at your images, get really good at SEO. And when you continue to do that over time, it's going to work.
I want to go back to, you mentioned pillows, you know, you have to, you're kind of the journey in the funnel. They have to see all the different kind of pillows before they decide to buy, or they're going to pin a bunch of different color kind of ones. So we in our mastermind, we were just talking about this. Like we're all working on our lead magnets, right? We're putting lead magnets. And before, I've had really great success of putting lead magnets over on Pinterest because people all say like, hey, look at my toolbox. You can get all this stuff. How does that, like if somebody wants to do a lead magnet to get, and who aren't like selling a physical product, because a lot of us as marketers, we're selling informational products or something like that. How does that work on Pinterest? Has that changed with the kind of the funnel thought that you were kind of leading us down there? Is should we just skip that and go pay for Pinterest ads, or should we kind of do both for a lead magnet? What is your suggestions?
Well, I would say both, number one, but I would also say people, because they are still cold, they need to be warmed up. So I see a lot of people leading their lead magnet to a very short form page. It might just be like, here is your ebook on XYZ, right? Mm-hmm. Give me your name, blah, 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 right there. I don't think that's enough to get people to buy. Like, it's a little more shocking. So if you are building, if you're sending people to a landing page where you want them to buy something, it has to almost read like a blog post because people are curious. They're like, why do I need this? Why do I need your course on XYZ or your ebook or whatever it is? So I don't find a lot of success outside of Pinterest ads. And even with Pinterest ads, you still have to have a great page that converts, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So when you lead to it, you can do blog posts. And let's say you have like one lead magnet that's just like amazing.
Right.
I would say whatever your top Pinterest posts are, put it there, right? Like kind of put it everywhere where you can see that entry point where people get to learn more. But a short form landing page, it just doesn't convert very well.
That is great to know because I know a lot of people have talked about that and we need to... You know, they want to know how to put it in and they think they can just go to like, you know, that quick conversion or that quick sign up convert kit form that just has their name and their email. And that's not working. They need to know the context behind it. So that's really great.
You know, Gary had asked that great question about should we keep categorizing posts to boards? And Abby kind of had a follow up to this. She says, so are there strategies for board names that the algorithm likes? Is it totally an SEO play? Is it being more, you know, less, I guess you could say, markety, right? And more specific so the algorithm kind of knows that. Is there any strategies for that?
Yeah, really boring. Like that's kind of the best way to say it. Like a lot of when Pinterest started, people loved to use their boards as this way to express themselves because people would visit the profile. But now that we've merged along into this SEO value, it's very specific and less than four words. So you don't want to just say like women's fashion. You would say women's spring fashion because then the algorithm knows like, oh, this is specifically about spring. So if Susie, our resident pinner, she is putting into the search bar women's spring fashion, Pinterest is going to look all over the platform to say, okay, where can I find that content? And they're using these breadcrumbs of these keywords to get there. And so if you have very broad names, that's not serving you, like recipes. You want to have it be very specific, whether it's vegan breakfast recipes or easy breakfast recipes. And if you're looking for where to find those keywords, Pinterest is the best place. That search bar at the top will give you all the clues that you need.
So a follow-up to that then is spring fashion, saying that that's a very timely sort of thing, right? You could probably be creating content throughout the year, but it might not be being searched throughout the year. Does the algorithm have any impact on how long a board has been there? Like, will it favor a long board that you've been posting to for a couple of years over something you just put up because you know, oh, people are going to start searching for spring terms?
That's really interesting. Like, I don't have any data to prove either way, but because I've seen both. Like, I've seen boards that are people's personal boards get picked up on Google, right? And they might not have a pin to it for like a couple of years.
Right.
But then we see other people's content that does really well on a really active board. So I think it's all in the name, all in the, like, have people saved it? That was a clue that we don't really have anymore. You could see how many times it was like repinned, which we don't use that word anymore. Right. But that would gain in popularity, kind of like you see on Google, like the more engagement, the more relevant. But they don't really give us a lot of data on that. Like, I wish they did, but they don't give it to us.
Yeah. This is what Dustin said. He goes, interesting. He says he sees a huge conversion on lead magnet pages, short landing page, 50% on average. Dustin, I would love for you, wherever you're on YouTube, to drop that, your landing page in there. I would like to look at your landing page.
Yeah.
It's for Magi. I would love to see it. And he says he expects different conversion rates would be vastly different based on user intent. So
yes,
that's good.
And
too.
Can I address that really quickly?
Yeah.
User intent, because I think, you know, like Jeff, I've always looked to you as like where men fit on Pinterest, right? Like you're kind of one of the male
weirdos
figures that's talking about it. Right. But I think it's very important to say that majority of the audience is women. And these women that you're targeting might need a longer page. Some might need a shorter page. Mm-hmm. So one really cool test would be to have the short and the long and then create the same pin and then just start pinning it, but to different pages, right? And over time, like 3 to 6 months, you could get some pretty good data on what converts for you. And that's what I tell people is like, you want to look at your data and what really works for you. Like Dustin, if a short page works great on Pinterest, keep doing it.
Yeah, because I bet it's advertising Magi and AI is super popular right now. People are wanting to learn how to use it. And so I'm wondering if that's why they, because they already kind of know what AI is. And anyway, it's just interesting. Mm-hmm. This is what I love about having a community that joins in and chimes in, because it's really, really fun to see what's working. We've got some other great questions. I want to pull this up from Pat. She says, I find that group boards are still helping us. What is the current trend with group boards? I heard group boards were on the way out. So what do you think, Kate? What have you?
Oh, I 100% agree. Okay. Like, I would say for a lot of our clients, there's a few that might work well if they have a specific name, if they have a low number of contributors, and the content on there is pretty good. But for the most part, they're kind of crap. Like, I would say, especially if you have a group board that you don't have a mirroring personal board, because then that's taking all your like SEO energy, if you will, like, and putting it towards the group board when you don't have it. Like, your content could probably fit really well on a board that's named. Does that make sense? I feel like I'm not explaining it very well. Yeah. But I think that's the trap that people get into, is they think group boards are going to do really well for them, and then they don't. So I know Tailwind, you can go in and you can look at group boards and how they do. You can, Pinterest Analytics is much better than it was a couple years ago. Maybe that's the thing they've gotten better at, their analytics, right?
Right.
So I would say look at that, but I'm not a fan of group boards.
Yeah, I haven't used them in a long time. So that's kind of where I'm at too. So
Jeff, I think we need to help Dustin here.
I know, quick. I saw that question too. So I'm trying to. I hit the wrong button. So let me.
No, I got it. I can read it too. Well, first off, Dustin, I just activated my Magi account, and it's awesome. I love the Facebook community too. It's so much fun. But he asks, I'm starting from scratch with my business Pinterest account. Feels like I don't stand a chance. Talk me off the ledge. So Kate, what would you say? He's, you know, AI focused, that sort of thing, but just starting out, like how's he going to get going?
Yeah. Well, I always tell anyone, when you're getting going, you're throwing a spaghetti on a wall for at least 6 months, right? Like, you're trying to figure out who your audience is. So if I'm talking about something with AI and B2B, I will say that a business to consumer always does better on Pinterest. It has forever, but I don't think there's still space for business to business. So thinking about who you're targeting, like, are you targeting a female, like, business entrepreneurial audience, or a marketing person, or something like that? Go onto Pinterest and look at the keywords that people are searching for your particular product. If something's not coming up, it means there's not a lot of high search volume for it. So that's something to consider too. And maybe even backing up and thinking about, okay, what do people need to know before they're going to enter into buying my product, right? So it's, where's the curiosity? Where are the searches where people are saying, like, how can AI help my business? There's a lot of how questions that come up on Pinterest. So I feel like if you can answer those, that's where you're going to be a step ahead.
So this is a great question from Abby, and I know why she's doing this, because she wants to do it to my stuff. She goes, how often should I go in and refresh Pinterest boards and rearrange some things?
Oh, I love this. And Abby, I love that you're here. So great. So I would say we go in and refresh ours. Well, actually, we just did it, and we probably waited a little bit too long. It had been about 3 years. I would say refresh them probably once a year. But if a board is doing really well for you, don't touch it. It's more, you want to look at a board, like, our names were kind of stale. And so what we did is we searched Pinterest marketing, or Pinterest marketing like bloggers or whatever. And we realized some of our stuff had fallen out of rank, if you will. And so we clicked on some of those pins, and we looked at the boards that they were kind of living on. And that gave us some clues as to how we needed to update our board names. So that's all we did. We updated our board names. We left our board descriptions the same, left the pins in there. Like, that was it. So I would just say refresh board names if you feel like something, maybe there's like new terminology or something like that.
Let's talk about that a little bit, because I think that's a fundamental part that a lot of businesses and people who first start getting on skip over, because you'll see stuff like a board that says stuff I like, which has no SEO value at all. So talk a little bit about like board names and descriptions, and that's SEO. It's like what you would look at for in Yoast on your WordPress blog or something. So maybe explain that.
Okay, so there's two places you can go to look for keywords that you want to use. One is the trends tool that Pinterest has. That's trends.pinterest.com. And you can look, maybe your home country isn't the US or even Canada. Maybe it's another country. You can look at keywords that are ranking for your country. There's like 15 listed or something like that. The other place is the Pinterest search bar, right? So putting in your keywords that you want to use. And if you're going to name a board, maybe you're going to move it from stuff I like. The important thing is that you want to turn that board into like a specific silo, if you will. Mm-hmm. So going and looking at, let me back up. If your stuff you like is not your business content, move it to secret. Like, don't leave it on your public profile, because what we've seen is that if the whole profile reflects like a certain brand or a certain keyword, or it's all like a themed, that helps you, right? So if you're wanting to rename something, go to the search bar, look through, and then there's these like guided search bubbles at the top, and they're colored and all these kinds of things. You can also take clues from that. You can keep clicking on those and kind of go down the rabbit hole. Maybe use some of those terms and rename your board that way. But I would say, like, don't try to turn an ugly board, if you will, into like a board that actually serves you. Just move it to secret.
Yeah, that's a great tip.
You had mentioned when you were going through to refresh some boards that you realized you had fallen off for a couple of searches that you wanted to rank for. When I do that for SEO and I'm looking to see if I'm in the top five or if I got a featured snippet, I do it a very, very scientific way. I open an incognito browser and I type in the keyword that I want to search for and see if I'm up there. With Pinterest, you know, does that matter, or can I just search for it on my own account that I'm trying to rank for and it should pop up right there? Does it have any impact on the algorithm knowing it's who you are searching for?
That is a great question. And I'll be honest, I have no idea. Okay. I would say I don't know how to say this in like a way that's like nice, but I will say Pinterest isn't that smart yet. Like, okay. And we haven't seen a lot of indicators that show that they're as advanced in their search as Google. Like, they might track like time on site. That's going to be a big one too, is that if they know that people are bouncing away from a pin, that tells them that there's not really relevant content that people are finding. Like, we have heard, I don't think there's a lot of like literature out there, but we've heard that kind of through the rumor channel that they do consider that, because when you're on Pinterest and you're using the app, you're still in the in-app browser, so they can gather a lot of data. Yeah. But as far as like you going and searching, I haven't seen that, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that's good to know, because when, you know, I hear SEO, I'm going to take all my knowledge that I have from organic and search, Google, those things, and kind of apply it. But it's important to know that it's not one-to-one. You know, your principles are the same. Maybe some of your tactics need to be a little bit different.
Well, and I think the one thing you can take from Google that you know is that it's so variable, right? Like, I was at a conference a couple of weeks ago with creators, and they were having this roundtable kind of discussion about their frustrations with Google. And they were like, what works for one doesn't work for the other. This one woman was like, I deleted 10 posts and my traffic went up like crazy the next day. And somebody's like, I deleted 10 and my traffic tanked.
Yeah.
So I think it's that same idea with Pinterest, is that there's certain things that will work for one account that won't work for another, because there's so many different variables, whereas keywords is a big part of it and what the search volume is for those keywords. And I mean, I've seen some tools come out lately, I kind of don't trust them, but that will tell you where your keyword ranking is on Pinterest. I'm real side-eyeing that. I don't know. So yeah. I think people have been trying to build those for years. I remember like people at conferences would be like, is there a keyword tool for Pinterest like SEO? And I'm like, no. And they're like, I'm going to build one. And then they never did, right? Because there's some way that it's difficult.
So on that note of third-party apps, be very, very careful of what you, because we, back in the day, we saw people get like booted off of Pinterest because they were using not authorized third-party apps. So if it's asking you to use your logon information, that's scary. Use ones that are approved, and Pinterest even has a list somewhere of all their approved partners. What were you gonna say, Kate? I'm sorry.
Yes, somebody asked me this the other day. I was having a conversation with Susan at Tailwind, and there's two things to be aware of. There are companies that can get the Pinterest API, and there's companies that are Pinterest partners.
Right.
The ones that are Pinterest partners have the API too, but they've been approved by Pinterest. We've seen companies get the API and abuse it, right? And they're shut down, right? So I think I'm seeing a little bit come up with some companies using the API, but I'm a little skeptical of that. So just know that those are the two distinguishers when it comes to third parties.
In fact, they reach out to me and want me to try their tool or stuff.
I'm pretty sure it's the same one. Yes. Yeah.
So it's only approved partners for me. I'm not going to mess with stuff that
100%.
Because they're not, I've seen them go and come and not stick around, and it's just not worth messing with your account with. It's just not, especially if you've got any sort of following on there. On that note, I want to talk about a little bit about like what you see the role of Pinterest evolving in kind of the broader digital marketing landscape, because there were some recent things that have come out. We talked about earlier before we started the show about the new CEO. We've also got, they had something coming out about they have increased their monthly users, but that's mostly in Europe, not in the United States. So how do you think, you know, I guess put on your wizard cap and like, where do you think this is moving to compared to all the other social networks?
Yeah, I would say a big part of it is going to be e-commerce, because the new CEO is heavily focused on e-commerce. And I think they are going in the right direction in the sense that they realize that they are different than the rest. And I think when we had like 2020 and 21, and we saw the rise of traffic on Pinterest and the rise of users, they tried to be like TikTok and Instagram with idea pins, right? And they didn't link out. And there was this huge frustration with users where it was like, Pinterest like experience is I click on the pin and I go to the website, right? And then there's that frustration. I think that they're realizing their advantage of being different. And I think there's two ways that they're kind of leaning into that. One is with the e-commerce piece, being like, okay, if we are where people discover things, we also want to help them buy things. We want to give shop integrations. We want to do all of these things. And then we want to bring back the ability for people to do short form content, but it has a link. So I guess I would say I see Pinterest. We've been talking about this forever. I don't think they're going to be a checkout like platform. I don't think they're going to have on platform checkout. I still think they're going to have people go to your website to check out. I could be wrong. They could do it tomorrow and all of a sudden check out. But that's what I think.
Yeah. E-commerce has been, a perfect partner for Pinterest for a long time. They've done great things and then they have screwed it up. And it feels like you're going backwards. So, yeah, I think e-commerce is going to be huge. I remember when it used to really integrate really, really well with Shopify. And it was just amazing. That's why I started a Shopify store, just to play with it.
Yeah,
and
me too.
And then they kind of went wonky with it. And I'm like, okay, you know, so anyway.
I know, it's true.
Before we go on to the next section, I want to do a shout out once again to our sponsors, Ecamm. By the way, they have the Creator Camp coming up. And you can find out more about that at ecamm.com/camp. Connor's going to be there. I'm going to be there doing a session with our friend Ian Anderson Gray, who is in the audience. So you can find out more about them at ecamm.com/camp. The thing is, they only have 7 tickets left. They limit it to 100. So 7 tickets left. But I've got you covered, because you could win a chance to Creator Camp by just going to if you go to jeffc.com/win, you can actually enter to win a free ticket if you are so lucky. And there's ways to get, I'm going to give you a in my emails, to get special bonus codes, all sorts of things. So go to jeffc.com/win to check that out. So let's dive in. Pat Mills, before we go into the next section, she said this. She goes, once I could get the whole team improving SEO across the board for the business site, it is growing the Pinterest. Pinterest is second after Google for people finding the company and purchasing. It drives traffic. It just does. It takes a while, but it's like a snowball, is the way I've always said it. So this next section, because this is really fascinating for a lot of people, organic versus paid. We all want a shortcut. We all want to get there easier. And, you know, do you have time or do you have money? What do you want to use? So how can businesses effectively integrate both organic and paid content on Pinterest?
Yeah. So I would say the old thought was that you needed to wait. You needed to do only organic before you went into paid. But now you can jump into paid right away. Mm-hmm. I would say leveraging both is How, let me add a like caveat to that.
Right.
I would say those who jump into paid right away without knowing their Pinterest audience are doing a disservice. So if you do the 3 months of organic and you start to figure out like who your audience is, what they're clicking on, what they like, then the great thing is you can run paid ads off of what you know. I mean, that's the way that I would do it. That's the way I've always done it, is I did a lot of organic first before I jumped into paid. If you jump into paid, I think that you have to be willing to burn some cash. Mm-hmm. And I'm not willing to do that. So I would rather do some organic first.
But when we compare it to other, you know, paid advertising opportunities on other platforms, you know, I know that the user intent and even like the longevity of pins and people coming and they're very specifically searching for a topic, that's very beneficial from an advertising perspective. But what do you think Pinterest has that might be much more beneficial to marketers than maybe a Facebook, Meta, Twitter ads? I don't know if anyone's still right. Using it. But
I would say, I mean, that's pretty tough. I think Pinterest is at a disadvantage. And that's what we know from talking to PPC companies, is that Pinterest is last on their list. And it's because they don't understand it. So I would say Facebook or Meta ads or whatever, they optimize very quickly. Whereas Pinterest ads take about 2 weeks to optimize. So wow. You are kind of burning those 2 weeks, which feels frustrating. But what we find is that return on ad spend and leads, the longer you like kind of adjust and understand your ad, the same thing happens, or, you know, it happens organically with the snowball. The same thing can happen with the paid ads, especially if you're running them at the right time. So we see a lot of companies who leverage the seasonality of Pinterest, and they'll only run their ads from, say, August to November, because they're trying to optimize for holiday traffic. And so I think that is really, you have to go into Pinterest ads with a totally different frame of mind. You can't take what you know about Facebook or Instagram and apply that to Pinterest. And that's what we see as people's biggest frustration, is they go, it doesn't work like Facebook, or I don't understand it. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people will quit. They'll just be like, it's not for me. But mm-hmm. I think the longer you stay in it, the more you learn, the more you can optimize.
So this used to be true, and I don't know if it is anymore. The big push that they said to use Pinterest ads for is because of, like, you pay for somebody to click on it and save it to your board, and then after your campaign's over, if somebody else saves it from their board, you kind of get that cycle. Is that still true? Is that still something that is a benefit of using Pinterest ads?
Yeah, you can still do that, or you can put an ad out there and turn it on and turn it off so that like it doesn't live out there anymore. Now, I don't know if someone has saved it, if it still lives from there, if you're turning them on and off.
Okay.
I can't remember how that works, but if there's ones that like you can promote a pin or you can do a Pinterest ad. Those are two very different things. Like you'll see on Pinterest, it'll say promote. Mm-hmm. I have played around with that tons of times. Like it's like you can turn it on and turn it off.
Right.
I would say for those, there's a greater chance that people, when they, you know, save it, it's going to keep living out there. But I can't remember what happens with those ones that you turn on and turn off. Okay. I would assume they stay.
Yeah.
But
that was one of the benefits of Pinterest, is like, you have that campaign. If you get a bunch of people pinning it, and like, then they, you know, because they do, they save it to their boards and then they'll revisit it, like you mentioned before. And then, you know, it kind of that awareness, and then they'll buy.
Yeah.
And if somebody pins from their board, you kind of get that, you know, kind of snowball effect. So that's very, very cool. This is a great question from Pat. She says, how long should you run an ad to get the most from it? So you mentioned it takes about 2 weeks, but how long should you run it?
You know, you can let it run for a long time. We have people who they're just letting theirs run continuously in the background because it is converting for them. So I would say we have some people who run them for 3 months, some people who run them for 6, and some who just continue to run them. So if it's a holiday, obviously you have the time stop there. If it's not converting for you, I would turn it off. The woman that I talked to last week, she actually worked with Pinterest, which here's a caveat. If Pinterest emails you and they're like, I want to help you set up a campaign, they want you to spend a lot of money. Right. And this woman had worked with Pinterest to set it up. And I will say we haven't had the greatest experience with Pinterest ad reps, but this one actually did a really good job. And she was spending $1,000 a month and making upwards of like $2,000 to $5,000 a month. Wow. But she ended up going through like some traumatic thing in her family. She dropped it down to like $15 a month. And it was still converting for her. She was making like $500 a month off of that. Mm-hmm. So I guess I would say like the biggest thing you want to look at Is it converting for you? Is it return on ad spend really good? And are you getting the leads that you want? You can let it run forever.
That's great. I want to talk about, and this is a question from Ian. He's talks about, he came in late, so no gold star for Ian. But he says, is it worth posting my short vertical videos who have been, you know, taken from my podcast using Opus Clip? Is it worth posting those to Pinterest? Would I link to the full episode, or is it not worth it? Because I was listening to Agora Pulse's podcast, and they had a Pinterest expert on, and she thought that, in her experience, videos were for awareness, images were for clicks. Mm. Would you agree with that? And if so, is it worth... you have a podcast and a video and video on YouTube. Do you repurpose those things to Pinterest?
We'll repurpose some short form that I do for Instagram that is educational. But I don't record my podcast on video. Like, I know that's okay. Like the thing.
We need to
I know. Every time I tell somebody that, they're like, what? I just don't. We are doing a lot of YouTube. Like, we do one video a week. So I will take shorts from that and I'll put those on Pinterest, because we have seen the conversion from Pinterest to YouTube actually doing really, really well. But the caution that I have with linking directly to a podcast is, what link are you going to use? Like, I would tell people, go straight to your website. Don't go to a player, because people have, like, I don't know what people are listening to, if it's Apple or if it's Spotify. Right. So, I mean, that's something you can try. I don't think they perform very well for me. I mean, they could be awareness builders. I haven't tested it to a point to see what it does. I mean, I was sitting in the room with a lot of people who were creators doing that exact thing. One woman was crushing it. 10 others were like, it's doing nothing for me.
I think it also depends really on the pin, because like, we'll take short form stuff and take it, and on Social Media News Live, it has the video, it has the player, it has the article. And so they can kind of do whatever they want with it. And so we have seen on certain ones that it does really, really well. Other ones, you know, crickets. So
yeah.
Anyway,
And it seems a very, you know, it's, who's posting, like different accounts working for different things and those sorts of things and content types. But right now, from an organic perspective, what is working with organic pinning? Like, Kate, what are you seeing where, you know, you might have tried it for one client, you rolled out to another, seemed to work. If it's a frequency, a cadence, just strategies in general, are there any that you're really loving right now?
Yeah, I would say, okay, for those who have a lot of evergreen content, for taking an image and kind of catering it towards a season or an event, right? So that's really working well for a lot of people who maybe they, you know, talk about something that's not very event specific, but they're turning their image into something that is event specific, right? Like, that's doing well. I would say updating, like, I get a little cautious here, right? Because there was a big thing about updating images and people like went crazy.
Right.
But fresh content. I hate that word. Yeah. So I would say the number one thing is to remain relevant with both creating content on your website at least one time per week, but also going back to older content and refreshing an image. But a lot of people like play the game of, I'm just going to move a line, or I'm going to move a bubble, or I'm going to do, like, really get creative with that. Because Pinterest, I would say that is number one. Like, people who are staying relevant with those things, they're doing really, really well.
Yeah. Relevancy, I think, is the secret sauce, and consistency is the secret sauce for everything on the interwebs. So I really do. So here's the question that I'm really interested in, because you mentioned that Pinterest has got a lot of new features. Like, you don't really have to think of what kind of pin to use. You can just throw it in there and it'll do it. So do you still use a Pinterest scheduler, or do you use the Pinterest scheduler, or do you use the third party like Tailwind and some of the other ones?
Yeah, we still use Tailwind, and we've tried so many and we keep coming back to that one. Mm-hmm. So I would say this was great. I loved it when somebody said this a couple weeks ago. They said, there's a lot of these debates about whether or not to use a scheduling tool or not.
Right.
But the question is, if you don't use a scheduling tool, are you actually still going to pin? And the answer is 9 times out of 10, no, you're going to forget about it. So we use that one. We really like it. And it's been really effective for us. The Pinterest native scheduler, it doesn't go past 30 days. And sometimes we want to stretch a pin out. Yeah. So I don't love it. I think it's clunky.
Yeah. So Tailwind is the only one that I would recommend. Like, it just is. It's a great tool, great people over there. So yeah, it's the only one I would use for a while. Does it, can for a while, I know they've re-updated a lot of stuff on Tailwind. Do you, are you using some of the AI stuff that they have there that they're pushing and using on the platform?
You know, I think they're great tools. I just haven't spent a lot of time with them. So okay. I would say that's a big one is it's the advantage with the AI, which I think can be really good. And here's my caution for any tool that you use is Pinterest has its own version of AI right now. Like if you upload an image, it'll give you like a description and all of that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I think it's pulling from ChatGPT and it's always going to add hashtags. Mm-hmm. Hashtags are not relevant on Pinterest. So I haven't experienced that as much with Tailwind, but if you get hashtags anywhere from AI, just remove them.
Got it.
That's the other thing too, is a lot of people repurpose like their TikToks or reels on there and they're throwing all their hashtags in there. I've even heard that people say that it actually hurts your reach on Pinterest. I haven't tested that, but I've heard that. So you might as well take them out for everything anyway.
Yeah, so. It breaks the SEO value. Like Pinterest is looking at the keyword. So if you put a hashtag in front of it, it's like it's broken. Mm-hmm. Don't do it.
On that note, on the SEO, and maybe you can speak on this a little bit more, but a lot of people don't realize that Pinterest can read the text on your pin. Right?
Yes.
So that is really, really important. One, and I've said this for years, quit using those scripty fonts. I know they're pretty. I know they work on Instagram, but Pinterest cannot read them, right? They yes. can't read them. So how much text, how much, and what are you finding that works the best for like text on image? Do you, and another question, sorry. Do you experiment with both? Do you have like one A/B test where you're doing, here's the pin with text on it, here's one without, and what have you found?
Okay, so no text versus text. The only time we've seen no text be effective is in home decor and fashion. Mm-hmm. Other than that, when you get into food or when you get into like even digital products, you have to add text in order for people to understand what it is. Whereas when you're on like home decor or fashion, the text interrupts. It's like people want to move it out of the way. So those are the only two niches I would say don't use text. What I was talking about earlier with leveraging text on image, especially with the event, that's kind of what I was talking about is working because Pinterest is reading the text on the actual pin. And if it's something like spring or Easter or graduation or something like that, they're taking that into consideration. And so you always want to add, I wouldn't say a lot of text, like when you get too much text, I talked to somebody recently. She did one of those infographics from a long time ago.
Right.
And she was like, nobody's clicking on it. And I'm like, that's because you're giving all the information. They don't need yeah. to. So it's like the just the curiosity piece. So a phrase or less than five words, like make it bold, like, you know, have mm-hmm. it stand out to people to where they're scrolling through. They're like, oh, that's interesting.
That's a great point. Yeah. Catching the interest. It's going to get more and more hard to do this kind of stuff. So I think it's really important that we, you know, having your stuff stand out, and this goes back to the whole fresh pin thing. Don't just change a font and upload it again. Don't just change a color yes. and upload it again. That's not helping your brand or your board or your SEO. So come up with something different. Like take, by the way, you can go to jeffc.com/pin AI and learn how to use AI on your Pinterest. It's helpful. I mean, you don't want to just spit out garbage, yeah. but it kind of, if you're sitting there looking at a blank screen, This free course can help you. So jeffc.com/pin AI. Let's go into some like deep things about Pinterest advertising, because I think a lot of people would like to do this and are trying to figure it out. So you had a great article, and to be honest, I had never heard of it before. What are quiz ads? Like I didn't even know this was a thing. Talk about that, because that is fascinating to me.
Yes. So we did a podcast on this, and I have an ads director here, and she went through it and we tested it. So basically it's really good for like makeup or fashion. You want to help people figure out what's right for them. So they would answer these three questions and then it would send them to the page that fit for them. We did it and it was like the worst conversion ever. It did not work for us. It was terrible. And actually, as of late, we've seen no quiz ads anymore. So I think what Pinterest is really trying to do is they were trying to leverage what they were kind of seeing on other platforms or even people having on their own website. But I just don't think it's like they didn't knock it out of the park right away. So I wouldn't suggest any business try them right now unless they've tried them on other platforms, like, or unless you're in the makeup or, you know, you need to find a fit of a jean in fashion. But other than that, I wouldn't recommend them.
So follow-up question real quick. So Duana, my friend Duana Kana Verana says, I wish Pinterest was free of ads and only had ideas from individuals. And what I'm seeing is most ads on Pinterest are video. Maybe that's just the way I'm doing my feed. Yeah. So if we're wanting to do Pinterest ads, does it have to be video? So on Pinterest ads, does it have to be video?
Oh, no. Actually, I am seeing a lot of carousel ads on mine, which are like you swipe through and you'll see the little dots underneath. No, I would say video. I don't know. It just depends on if you've had a video that's already worked for you. But I would say standard ads or the carousel is going to be the best. But that's actually a trick, right? If you're looking to get creative with like your text, look through and see what ads are doing. And we all want platforms to be free of ads. But I would say as far as ads go, Pinterest does a pretty good job at like having them blend throughout the feed.
Right. It's just weird that maybe it's just because I've trained my algorithm, but I mostly all the time
I'm going to go look
video
on
ads.
Mine.
Yeah, I just see them all the time.
Okay. So. Well, I have to say I've only gotten a few on mine. It'll be curious, right? Like it's probably heard us talking. So now I'm going to get right. Like only video.
So do you do most of your Pinterest? I know most people do. And this is something we didn't talk about, but most Pinterest comes from mobile. So, make sure that your landing page or whatever you're driving people to works really well and it's really fast on mobile. That's a lot of things that people don't think about.
Yeah, I'm going to add to that. If you have not looked at your pins on Pinterest mobile, do it. Like after we're done with this call, go look at what they look like. And then even have a friend like follow your pin to your website to make sure that's seamless. Because if it's not, people are out of there, right? Yeah. And so getting feedback from somebody else is really good.
So I use ConvertBox, which has a pop-up to do stuff. And you can turn it off for mobile, which I do because the what makes me jump so fast is if I get a thing and I can't find that X to get out. So for pop-ups, I turn them off for mobile viewers. I mean, maybe I'll turn them on later and do something different. But for now, that's what I've been able to do. So
very interesting. I know. I'm sure I do some annoying things. So if you go to my website and have a pop-up on, like
we won't hold you to it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
So you won't email me. Turn this thing off.
That's right.
What the heck? What did we talk about? Well, so like with Pinterest advertising, I mean, you know, I've done paid advertising before, but never on Pinterest. And I know my KPIs that I'm looking for, especially whatever my goal is. When it comes to Pinterest, what are the best metrics we should be tracking just to see the success of, you know, the money we're pouring into Pinterest ads that we're getting a return on that? I don't know if it's it can monitor conversions on your website as well as like Meta ads can, but talk about some KPIs for that.
Yeah, I would say return on ad spend is like number one. And then the leads that we're getting from that are going to be that's what I primarily look at. And that's what we look at for a lot of our clients is, are we getting the return that we want for the amount that we're putting in? And here, this is actually an interesting example. We were running like lower cost ads for a hardware company, right? So you could go to the website, you could buy anything, drawer pulls, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And we had off of one order from them, one Pinterest ads, like a $3,000 order, which was crazy, right? Wow. That's not gonna be all the time, but those are the things that you're also looking for is what's the order value? Like how much are people buying? That's a big one to look for.
So with that, then optimizing, you know, on other platforms, it's a lot of test, continue to test. Yes, continue to test. Even if you have a winner, is Pinterest kind of the same when it comes to optimizing? You just always want to be testing, or if something's working well, just let it run and kind of hands off, don't touch it.
Yeah, I would say if anything's working well, hands off, don't touch it. But if something is not working well, it's that you want to do that 2 weeks first. And then after those 2 weeks, see, okay, what's happened? And then you can let it go another 2 weeks and then adjust from there. It's like the quiz ads thing. We tested it for, I think, 2 months. At the end, we were like, this is terrible. We have one conversion from it, right? So like either quiz ads aren't working or it's not right for our audience or something like that. There'll be other things that will run for 2 or 3 months at a time. That's kind of our limit is I want to see in those 3 months, does it take off? Does it get distributed in more places on Pinterest? If not, I either turn it off or I tweak it, or sometimes I just don't have the energy to invest in it. I think that's an important thing to evaluate is that we're trying to do so many things in our business. And if something's not working, you just can't put energy into it, especially if something like Facebook is working for you.
Yeah, that's a great point. We do have one final question. This is from Gary, and I wanted to see if you have any answers for him. He says he had two mobile videos processing for days on Pinterest. Have you had any issues with videos processing and getting uploaded?
Not really. I mean, maybe here and there, but 2 days.
Yeah, that sounds funky normal. To me. And that's Gary knows what he's doing with video. He's not using some weird codec or something.
Yeah, like that, so, that's really interesting. I would say delete them and then try again.
Yeah, and retry them. I don't know why they would do that. So
if it doesn't upload after like 10 minutes, I delete.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you've got some long suffering there, Gary.
That's right, Gary. I'm like, gee, he's like, don't touch it. He's like, I don't want to.
Don't turn off the computer. Yeah.
So, and our friend Mia Voss says, I've been lurking. Great info. Thank you, Mia. I'm so glad you're here. Mia and I go way back, and this is for Chris Stone, all the way to Google Plus. So have a drink, drink, Google drink. Plus. Yes, Google Plus. We have a thing on the show where Chris Stone says it's a drinking game. Every time we mention Google Plus, he has to take a drink. So that's in the day. So, Kate, this has been fascinating. So much stuff. What would you tell people who are hesitant to even give Pinterest a try? What would you say to them? They've got a business. They've kind of optimized some other channels, and they've heard about Pinterest. What would you tell them that are a little bit hesitant to get started?
I would say first evaluate why you want to use it. So we put Pinterest in the bucket with YouTube and Google. It's a cold traffic source. So if you need a cold traffic source in your business or you want to add more of them, then Pinterest is something you need to try. And then after that, I would go through and I would identify who is the person that I'm targeting on Pinterest. Are they even there? If you're in the finance space, like we had a guy come to us one time and he was like, I'm looking for men 50 to 60 that are interested in investing. I'm like, Pinterest is not the place for you because they're just not really there, right? But if you were targeting women between 30 and 50 who are interested in investing, then maybe that would work. So it's evaluating, is my audience there? And then after that, if you can answer yes to all of those, then what I would do is I would nail your Pinterest images. Don't make that an afterthought. And then get your profile set up and then pin for at least 6 months, maybe even 9 months, and add your content to the platform, be consistent about it, and then see what happens. I know that 9 months is an investment, but I don't think it has to be. It's not like an Instagram investment. It's not like 20 or 30 hours a month. It's maybe like 10. Yeah. So that's an important thing to evaluate.
Yeah, that's what attracted me to Pinterest in the first place, is that it was easy. Like it was, you know, I could do it and I didn't have to like, you know, do all the, I didn't have to, you know, it was an easy way to do it. And I'm very lazy. So
I'm talking, there's no conversation. Right, you don't have to like talk with people.
Put it up there, make a good image and you're good. Yes. Pat says, thank you. Great info for us today. Yes, it has been awesome. Kate, I want to let people know where they can find you, your podcast, how to sign up for that. Where do they get all the good stuff that is Kate All and Simple Pin Media?
Yes. So simplepinmedia.com. But then if you're on YouTube, just go find Simple Pin Media, subscribe and watch a few of our videos. And then if podcasts are your thing, go to Simple Pin Podcast. Just listen to a few, see what we're talking about. In the summer, we go into like a story series about businesses. So there's not as much Pinterest content, but we have a backlog of like 8 years of Pinterest. So I can't believe it's 8 years. Actually, can I tell you this story, Jeff?
Yeah.
Because you were actually super instrumental when we met at Social Media Marketing World, one of the first times. And I think that's when I was thinking about doing a podcast. And you were like, if you don't have a system set up, you will not continue to do it. And I was like, okay, like I'll get a system. And I did.
There you go. So here I am. That's awesome. Thank you for that. It's weekly, isn't it? It's a weekly podcast, right?
Yeah. Every Wednesday.
Yeah, that 8 years, that's some significant investment, but it is very, very, very good. So if you have any interest in this stuff, even if you're just dabbling in Pinterest, it is worth going and putting some episodes in your player, you're driving, doing housework. It is amazing. So a simplepinmedia.com, it is amazing. Also, Connor Brown, where can folks find out more about the amazing, unsinkable Connor Brown?
You can find more about me at vacationkingdoms.com. Check out the rebrand over there. Send me an email, Connor, C-O-N-O-R, at vacationkingdoms.com. Let me know what you think. And Vacation Kingdoms across all the social medias.
Awesome. And don't forget our sponsors for today's show, Ecamm. Find out more about them at ecamm.com/Jeff. Enter code Jeff15 to save 15%. your first purchase. And don't forget about the contest we have for Creator Camp, jeffc.com/win. There's all sorts of secret things that are happening around my blog, the podcast. You can find those codes for extra entries. I think who is winning right now? Corey Bassett is the one who has the most entries. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to win. He's got the most chances. But don't let him win. You need to knock him down a few notches. So go find those bonus codes, sign up for everything. I would love to see you at Creator Camp. It's going to be amazing. And with that, we'll see you guys next time. Thanks for watching, everybody.
Social Media News Live.